Hey there, thoughtful listener. Would you like consistent and predictable sales activity with no spam and no ads? I'll teach you step by step how to do this, particularly if you're an agency owner, consultant, coach, or B2B service provider. What I teach has worked for me for more than 15 years and has helped me create more than $10 million in revenue. Just head to upmyinfluence.com and watch my free class on how to create endless high-ticket sales appointments. You can even chat with me live, and I'll see and reply to your messages. Also, don't forget, the Thoughtful Entrepreneur is always looking for guests. Go to upmyinfluence.com and click on podcast. We'd love to have you. With us right now, it's Alex Minicucci. Alex, you are the founder and CEO of Relentless Venture Studio. Your website is berelentless.com. Alex, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Josh. Thanks for having me today. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So I'm really interested in learning about what Relentless Venture Studio does, because it says right here, you buy and sell SaaS companies. Please tell me more.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. It starts with my origin, building software companies at an early age. I've been from ideation to platform to getting these things out, making a few million dollars to exit. So I've understood and developed a life cycle of build and sell companies for the last 25 years. And I was approaching 40 years old in 2018. I said, how am I going to take my game to the next level? And how can I give back to other entrepreneurs that struggle with that life cycle? As most people know, 9 out of 10 startups fail. It's a terribly high failure rate, very hard to get through that process. And most entrepreneurs are trying to solve a problem or passionate about a certain widget, this thing that they want to do, fix, or build, but they're not great at building business. It's like being a great chef, but trying to run a restaurant. There's a lot of that other stuff that's involved mm-hmm. in successfully going to market. So I created Relentless Venture Studio as an effort to partner with entrepreneurs who are passionate about building a great product, building a great widget, but need help. And help in a different way than just check writing. You can give capital, but there's actually a lot of risk in trying to deploy capital, trying to find great sales managers, salespeople, CFOs. If you're a tech wizard, finding, hiring, and managing these people has a lot of risk, and it has time involved. So what we did is we thought, well, how can we create an efficient way to help entrepreneurs, both time and cost effective, while creating some economies of scale and staying truly fully engaged with these entrepreneurs as they move forward? So that was our Relentless Venture Studio model. So what I do is I try to find entrepreneurs that have got some momentum in market, but need help supplementing the rest of their business and taking it to the next level. I come in and partner with some capital, but also sweat equity. Our team comes to the rescue. Our CFO comes in and helps manage finances. My CRO helps develop sales process. My CTO helps oversee DevOps and building tech. So instead of raising $3 million and trying to deploy capital for all these resources, we give them $1 million and then do 80% of the things that they would spend the money on for them as an active and experienced partner in their business. So it's a different model. It's not for everybody, but we find our experience and ability to execute quickly has created a great partnership for the right kinds of companies to come on board.
Yeah. I mean, for the right person, how perfect for them, right? Because they just, if what they love more than anything is software that solves a problem in the market, but they're not necessarily, they could go through the effort of hiring a fractional CFO. They could hire a fractional CMO. They could dump a bunch of money in ads. They could do a lot of experimenting and absorb a ton of risk or partner with you, and they don't have to worry about all that stuff. That part of it is solved for them, if I'm understanding this correctly.
Yeah, 100%. We use the mantra, experience matters. And you're learning on the job. You're learning with other people's dollars oftentimes. And in tech, time matters. So there isn't a lot of time to go through this guess and test, figuring things out. That's why so many of these companies fail. And there are great programs out there that are incubators that try to help and support groups and other organizations. And all of those are meaningful and great in their own respect. But I think a lot of times you've got a founder entrepreneur who's really passionate about product. And then you've got all this other infrastructure required. It has very little to do with product and has to do with outbound selling, scripting, hiring salespeople, KPI measuring, right? Like, you know, the admin side, running payroll, having the right insurance, the right legal stuff. So now your tech guy, you know, is trying to deal with all this other stuff and learning, what kind of NDA do I use? What kind of contract do I put for my clients? What kind of privacy policy do I use? What kind of backup systems am I using and password protection for my staff? And you know, they're not working on product. They're figuring all this other stuff out for the first time, and it just becomes a mess. So I'm trying to streamline that model and help founders do what they love and focus on great product, great customer experience, while you've got an admin team that's shared amongst multiple companies, creates economies of scale and efficiency for them. So it just kind of works out as a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. And so, Alex, you typically are working with companies at what stage? And I think, you know, I'm looking at your front page of your website, and you kind of have this matrix of kind of startup to 5 million ARR. And then your sweet spot is somewhere in the middle. Do you mind talking just a little bit about stages and kind of where you typically love to come in?
You know, we like to come in at about 1 million in ARR, where there's a viable product that usually needs to be tuned up for scale. We can put some real energy behind scaling a sales process as opposed to discovering it. So we can provide some advisory on that. But once you're at 1 million in ARR, we kind of know the target market, who we want to go after. And usually that's where the entrepreneurs struggle with customer engagement, lifetime value, and scaling a sales team. And so that's where we really shine. So we come in and say, all right, you've got a couple of salespeople, you've managed to get to this point. Now let's create some infrastructure where we can have 15 salespeople and we can really scale. But usually at that point, now you've got the hole in the bottom of the bucket. What are we doing to keep customers happy, improve lifetime value, making sure that you're not churning as fast as you're growing? So that's where we like to put a lot of energy and emphasis on ongoing education and customer engagement, so that they're utilizing the product, get great value from the product. We look at ways we can tune up the technology to make it a little easier for onboarding, UI, UX improvements to make it simple to use based on feedback from customers. So at about 1 million in ARR is where we've got enough of that data where we can come in and deploy what we do and start building some infrastructure to help that business get to 5 and 10 million in ARR.
Yeah. And what do you like about SaaS?
You know, as a software guy by nature, I mean, I love where software can help create scale, kind of duplicate process, create engagement with customers that has a more long-term vision behind it. I'm relationship-oriented by nature, and that's what I love about you and your podcast. You're very relationship-oriented, the way you try to help and work with people. So SaaS kind of more implies a longer-term engagement and relationship building and solving people's problems over time. So I think by that, the nature of that model, as opposed to being really transactional, suits my personality. And from a business economic standpoint, you kind of build an annuity as you build a SaaS business over time, where you really get to where you have a predictable inbound lead flow. You know what your customers need and continue to refine and add value, and then work towards that longevity and building that relationship with your clients over time. So I love that ecosystem and life cycle of the customer journey on most SaaS businesses.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit more about the, obviously, let's say someone saying, well, I wonder if I would be a good fit, and I'm kind of curious about the model. So obviously it sounds like they're sharing in the equity of the company. Do you mind maybe just kind of sharing a little bit more about the model?
Yeah, you know, we're not for everybody. And so we see almost a deal a day. We bring on, you know, 5 to 10 a year. So we're pretty selective on what the fit is. And we have to be the right fit for somebody else. So yes, we do take a piece of equity. We don't do much work for hire. The way I've always looked at it is one, you know, for myself, and I think of this conversely with who I work with, you want people to really have some skin in the game and that participate in the success of your company. So when you just, you know, hire somebody out, I mean, not there's anything wrong with that, but when you hire somebody out, I mean, they're going to get paid to deliver their service and you know, there's no real upside for your success. So we come in, and if I say, well, you know, for $500,000, I believe I can transform your business, then forget the $500,000. I want a piece of me transforming your business. So we typically come in and take an equity stake, usually a minority stake, which is around 20 or 30%, depending on the level of engagement. So what we do is we assess what that business needs. We assess whether we're the right fit for that business. It all starts there. In some cases, we don't solve the problems that an entrepreneur has. And so we will, either refer people out to our network of partners. We do a lot of pro bono, just coaching work. Sometimes I say, I think I can help you, but I don't think I do enough to warrant owning a piece of your company. So let's just do, a call for, an hour or two of once a month, see if I can give you some advice. I'm happy to help the entrepreneur community in whatever way I can. So we try to make time for that. We need to. So we'll bow out and just help out in cases where, we think we can be some value, but not huge value. But if we're going to roll up our sleeves. We'll look at, we'll create a formal engagement. This is what we'll do for you, what you can expect from us and hold us accountable. In exchange for that, we're going to value business and take a certain piece of the equity. And now we're a true partner in that business. And at that point, the Relentless team becomes their team. Alex becomes their partner, and we're off to the races working together.
So obviously there's risk involved for Relentless as well. So, you certainly know what your own superpowers are. And aside from kind of the all-star team that you're able to bring in, it looks like you guys are pretty well set up with lots of partners that you can bring in to solve issues.
Absolutely. We have a great network. We spend a lot of time networking with different service providers, different incubators and groups, a handful of private equity. So sometimes we help build them up, and then we have the right kinds of partners that are buying companies so we can help facilitate an exit. We try to just participate in the entire ecosystem. And I actually host an event at my home every 3 months. We call it the Relentless Insiders. And we usually have 80 to 100 people. I'm usually mostly in California. I'm based in California, so from the Bay Area, LA. Coming to my home, we have sushi and wine, and then we actually have a Shark Tank style section where we let companies pitch. And we've raised on the spot $1 million for early stage companies. We've helped people get financing. We've connected people, and we don't take anything of this. We're not paid for it. We don't get a piece of it. We just love connecting people and helping the entrepreneur community. It's so hard trying to build a business, and I think you do create a community around that effort. So we love to help out where we can. So even if we can't help directly, the roll up your sleeves model, we do whatever we can to try to connect people to get them the resources that they need.
Man, I appreciate that. You sound like a man after my own heart, man. Just, you do good in the world and you keep doing good, especially with the right folks and the right crowds and stuff. And, I truly believe you get to a point where you're not able to outgive the market, right? Because you've already just shown yourself. Can I just ask you a final question? Can I just ask you about that type of philosophy and why you believe that that's just such an enjoyable, well, I'm editorializing here, why you choose that way of doing business?
Well, I appreciate you asking. I grew up in a small town. I'm an Eagle Scout. I was an altar boy as a kid. Like, I did all that kind of stuff, and I'm very community oriented. And when I was approaching 17, 18 years old and thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, the resources weren't abundant here, and there wasn't a lot of people to just connect with and talk to about this. So I realized early on how important it is to find those connections, find those resources, and cultivate those relationships over time. I know I met some people early on who were very transactionally minded, and it's short-lived. If you say, I'm going to be in business for the next 30, 40 years, in some capacity, 50 years, God willing, I do this until I drop dead when I'm 90. I love what I do. I would hope that I would have some relationships where people know that they can count on me to be reliable, to follow up, to connect. I don't always have my hand out trying to grab money out of their pocket. Like, it's, you can give a little, and then when it's time to come back around, people reciprocate. And we, as they say, a rising tide raises all ships, right? So, somewhere in there with my, I think my community oriented upbringing has really given me a love for that longevity. I think it's good business. For me, I love what I do, which means there's a personal element to the relationships that I build. I love seeing people develop success, whether I'm directly or indirectly a part of it. I think that it helps everyone. So yeah, just somewhere in there, it's just been part of my DNA to try to invest in those around me and help out. And I've been very fortunate in my business career as a result of that in some way, shape, or form.
All right. So let's talk about who needs to get to BeRelentless.com and what their next steps would be.
To visit the site, Be Relentless, it's BeRelentless.com. You can learn a little bit about what we're doing. We've got our portfolio companies on there. You can submit on the site or find me on LinkedIn. We do a lot with LinkedIn, so you can connect with me on there and follow up. I'm looking for, you know, where I can help out most are SaaS-based companies that have the 1 to 5 million in ARR that are looking to scale the team, build things out, say, you know, what's the vision look like to get this to 30 million in ARR? And there are some real milestones with respect to building on infrastructure, building out managers, measuring your performance. You start spending a lot of money on ads and retention and things like that. So, we like to work with those kind of companies, help them get to the next level. So that's, I think, where we add the most value.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Again, BeRelentless.com. Alex Minicucci. Did I say that correctly?
Perfect.
Yep. Founder, CEO. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, Josh, thank you. It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me on today.
Thanks for listening to the Thoughtful Entrepreneur Show. If you are a thoughtful business owner or professional who would like to be on this daily program, please visit upmyinfluence.com/guest. If you're a listener, I'd love to shout out your business to our whole audience for free. You can do that by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or join our listener Facebook group. Just search for The Thoughtful Entrepreneur in Facebook. I'd love, even if you just stop by to say hi, I'd love to meet you. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program every day. Together, we are empowering one another as thoughtful entrepreneurs. Hit subscribe so that tomorrow morning, that's right, 7 days a week, you are going to be inspired and motivated to succeed. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you for around 15 minutes each day. Thanks for listening, and thank you for being a part of the Thoughtful Entrepreneur Movement.